Thank you, Maple. What's the official temperature we're calling it then? What are we saying? Airport?
Oh, O'Hare is currently 69, Midway 68, and Chicago's lakefront 61.
I was talking to a farmer friend of mine yesterday. I want him to come on my show. George said he couldn't on Friday or today, Saturday, but he might early next week. I said, how's it going? He said, we won't plant corn this year. So we won't plant corn this year. It's just been too wet, too much. No. We can't even get into the field hoping to save the beans. Then he was talking to me about insurance and what that costs and what maybe a quote-unquote farmer bailout means, and you'd be surprised what that means. And it's just too bad. I mean, as much as we are all finally enjoying a day like this, you know, the farmers, a lot of them are just looking at the acreage that they have, and they realize they won't be able to monetize that. That's just going to sit there. It's too wet to get in.
And there's a bummer.
I know. So one person's, you know, great weather is not great enough for the next. Doggone it, what a nice day we're enjoying this morning. We've got blue skies on the lake and white puffy clouds, 69. It could be 79 for me, but...
Ditto.
I'm telling you, I was lamenting yesterday, when is the last time we had five 70-plus degree days in a row?
It's been a while.
I'll bet you've got to go back to last October. Right?
I'd say even before then, maybe even September.
Yeah, that was my guess, September, October. I don't remember how we finished October last year. But doggone it, since November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June!
Yes.
June!
That's the Midwest for you.
Was it always like this? I mean, I think whoever paid for June, I hope you kept the receipt, because we need our money. You are going to get a refund.
Absolutely.
This is not good.
Not at all.
So enjoy today, and we'll talk a little bit about the farming scene with the farmer. If you're one of them, if your world rotates a little bit around that, then trust me, we're not ignoring the fact that a nice day doesn't mean a great outcome for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also paying attention to what the president has been doing, and the Mincing Rascals podcast talks a little bit about that. If you listen to podcasts, listen to The Mincing Rascals. It's some smart people from the Tribune and here at WGN Radio. I'm the moderator, and they all have some interesting things to say about a lot of local topics. You'll hear that a little after 11 o'clock. I would say the big President Trump news, the big national news story today, and there's two ways to look at this. The advocates for the president would say ever the master negotiator, Donald Trump got Mexico to acquiesce. And the border is safer, and we got our way. It worked. There's other people online today who are saying Trump started a fire and then put it out. Either way, it looks like this tariff thing may not be as troublesome as you thought it was going to be. And by golly, the market sure had a good week. But the president has a habit of shooting his good news in the foot. I don't know if that's a saying, but I just think I just made one up. He tweeted yesterday, and I don't know what he was watching that made him think that we were all interested in his thoughts on NASA. You know, the president touches a lot of things. But he tweeted yesterday, for all of the money we are spending, NASA should not be talking about going to the moon. We did that 50 years ago. They should be focused on much bigger things we are doing, including Mars, of which moon is a part, defense and science. He said they should be focused on much bigger things we are doing, including Mars, of which the moon is a part, defense and science, exclamation point. I've been looking at that longer than most tweets for quite a bit now, and I think I have I know what he was saying. This is not covfefe. This is not a typo. You know, of which the moon is a part is kind of an odd phrase anyway. But I think this is what he meant. Are you with me on this, Griff? Just keep score and tell me if this one makes sense.
Sure.
They should be focused. NASA should be focused on the much bigger things we are doing. I'm not sure where he's going with that. Including Mars, of which the moon is a part. I think what that means is that to get to the moon, to Mars, you'll probably, you know, you have to get to the moon first. And then I don't know if you, like, have a base there, and then you launch a rocket from the moon to Mars. It'll be easier to get to Mars from the moon. So much bigger things that we are doing, including Mars, of which the moon is a part.
I'm just surprised we're doing Mars. I didn't know that.
Right. I mean, boy, I know we got Fizzies and Tang and Velcro out of the moon launch, so, you know, good idea. But I'm not sure that the expenditure and the focus on Mars is going to pay such dividends that we're going to go, boy, glad we did that. Maybe we will be. I also think Mars may be a one-way ticket. Hello, future astronauts.
It was just confusing because, yeah, like you said, I didn't know where he was starting from. Can I read from Vox? Not something that I always love to do, but they have decent explainers on some things like this sometimes. They said Trump was likely referring to NASA's plan to build up resources on and around the moon.
Thank you.
In a sustainable way. And yeah, there's a link to that story. The idea that whatever we build for a moon mission should also serve as future missions to Mars.
Right, right. So that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
They should be focused on the much bigger things we are doing. NASA should, including Mars, of which the moon is a part.
It's actually a non-story to me, I have to say. He constantly uses insane bad grammar.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And that's what you got here. This and it's always funny.
Yeah, it is.
I enjoyed it when I saw it.
Honestly, the way John says it, it kind of sounds like a poem.
Say it
to
again.
Which the moon, it's the way you say it, it kind of sounds like a poem.
It is sort of poetry, yeah.
To which the moon is a part of Mars.
Mars, of which the moon is a part. Defense and science.
It makes you think. It makes you stink.
You know, there's so I just Googled Mars songs. Griff, do we have a little Mars education music? Because maybe this will just be a nice backdrop.
Let's visit the planet of Mars. There's so much to learn on the planet of Mars. The red planet in a billion stars. Come and sing along about the planet of Mars. On the fourth planet from our burning sun. And the second smallest planet in our solar system. I have the tallest...
Did you know that?
Name Olympus.
Second smallest planet. Biggest mountain range. Biggest volcano.
Let's visit the planet of Mars.
This is where Schoolhouse Rock lives now.
Mars. The red planet in a billion stars. Come and sing along about the planet of Mars. I'm 142 million miles away from the sun and its heat, and that's why I'm chilly. When you're on my surface and you probably freeze, I am a cold negative 81 degrees. 24 hours and 37 minutes long. It's a full day on Mars, so you've learned in this song. 687 is the amount of days it takes to orbit the sun for my year to take place. Let's visit the planet of Mars. There's so much to learn on the planet of Mars. The red planet in a billion stars. Come and sing along about the planet of Mars. Let's visit the planet of Mars. There's so much to learn on the planet.
The Planet of the Mars song. Okay, so let's see what we learned. You ready?
Sing along about the
How many days is a year on Mars?
I don't know. I can't listen to that song, actually.
687. What's the cold temperature? How cold does it get, Joe Brand, on Mars?
I'm sorry.
81 degrees below zero.
Just like I thought.
Second smallest planet, fourth from the sun, has the biggest volcano and mountain range of all of the mountains in the solar system. You're not loving it.
I want to reiterate that I found that song difficult to listen
really?
To.
Really? Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Well,
I was struggling.
Scale of 100?
I'm giving it an 82. Fun and also educational. Joe, go.
81, just like the
Thank
lowest
you.
Temperature on Mars.
Thank you. Thank you. Only yours is a minus 81 for that song. But Griff, you also, I thought, tweeted something, maybe unintentionally, but I thought when you, the way I read it, when the president said Mars, of which the moon is a part is the way we're reading it. Like, does he think that the moon and Mars are together? They're not. Mm-hmm. But if it's a part that is away from, a part is one word, then you've got the moon and Mars are apart.
Right.
They're not the same.
Right.
So you've got that going for you.
It's not, I don't think it's worth the time we've given it here.
Oh, I do.
Oh,
I
boy.
Do.
Oh, boy.
I've been away for a little while, and so my brain's turned to mush. It's 10:18. At 10:35, we're going to visit with the Consul General from France to Chicago for the following reason. They're having an event in the city. You know, the Cathedral of Notre Dame caught fire, and we're all very familiar with that story. What a loss it was for the people of France. And the minute we got our head around it, we thought just what a world loss this is. And the question the French have now is, A, what happened? And B, what are we going to do about it? And they have an event in town tonight to answer two of those questions. And there's some controversy about how they should even address this issue anyway. Should they rebuild Notre Dame the way it was? Or they, if they're going to rebuild it, make it a little more modern, change some of it as well. They're also looking to raise funds. And people sang a song in France and around the world when the Notre Dame Cathedral burned that night or the next night at services and memorials to it. People gathered and sang a song, and they're going to do that in Chicago this evening as well. So I asked those people to come by and just kind of catch us up on where that story is and what the Chicago connection is after 10:30. It's 10:19, and this is WGN.
All right, here postgame with Ernie Skatton, manager of the WGN radio softball team, just pulled out a big victory against their rivals, Tribune. And Ernie, what'd you see out there on the field today?
I saw a team. Today I saw a team. You know, first week when we played, it was some individuality out there. But today we pulled it together, gave up a couple of bad runs here or there. But we pulled together when we needed to, and we played as a team, and team wins.
How pivotal was that outfield assist from Sam Panayotovich in the fourth inning?
I'm going to tell you, I've played 16-inch softball a lot of years. I don't think I've ever seen that. This man threw a man out from deep in left field, tagging up from third. That was a play that you see in the major leagues. That's a guy that's a guy who was a number three pick in the draft type throw. I mean, that was an incredible throw, and it saved the game for us.
Now, you mentioned some mistakes the team had. Where does this resiliency come from, and how do you see it helping the team moving forward?
You know, as long as I stay in here and I keep the heads up, we can't let the heads get down. We can't droop. You make a play, you move on to the next play. That's how it is. You got to be a quarterback out there. You got to have that quick memory and be done with it. Plays happen. You know, things happen. People bump into each other. You just don't make the same play twice. Got to fix it. Got to clean it up.
That's Inter manager Ernie Skatton on the postgame show. WGN plays next week. Looking for another W victory. Joe Brand, WGN Sports.
Yeah!
Was unable to see that game or participate in it. I'm kind of sorry now. Sounded pretty epic, Joe.
I'm tearing up over here. That was spectacular.
Yeah. Who did we beat? The Tribune, huh?
The Tribune. It was a nail biter.
And they have more resources to pull from. We're a company of, you know, maybe 100 people. Not even that. They must have 1,000 people at the Tribune. So
I think the
deck would be stacked against us.
It was a David and Goliath matchup, if you will.
Yeah.
And that was fantastic. I hope Ernie heard that, because honestly, that background music was basically the same amount of enthusiasm he put during the game.
Like, well, Ernie's very serious about it.
Oh, serious is an understatement. He is.
His daughter's
a cheerleader.
Softball players in the metro too. That's you, Griff. His daughter's one of the better softball players in the area. It's a family that's come to know and love the game. And if it's a clincher, a 12-inch, a league, a softball, a baseball, they love the crack of the sound of the bat on the ball and the running to the bases. Oh, they will come, Ernie.
Oh, fantastic. Appreciate the love for the WGN softball team.
Yeah. So were you playing or were you just covering it?
I was actually playing that
unending
day, yeah.
Coverage of baseball.
We were riding a high after that victory. We're like, oh, you know, we got to write a post-game recap. We got to send this out. I'm like, no, let's really do some post-game sound. We'll send in the audio. So we did.
Yeah.
We sent it. Acting manager Justin Kaufman, I believe, played that right after it had been recorded. But it was a really good game.
Both teams are hindered because all the WGN team has these mobile recorders and microphones
that they
have to run around with and try to catch the ball. And then, Tribune has little notepads or something? Maybe,
yes.
Writing down what happened.
And
trying to get
them,
the gnat sound.
All of them are,
the
of course, Instagram posting as they go, too, because that's what we do now. We don't do anything that we don't tweet it and Instagram it as we do it. There's no
What would be the
experience.
Point of doing it?
It's true.
You say that like it... Of course you...
I thought Joe Brand channeled his best Doris, was it Burke, who's the sideline reporter in the NBA?
Yes.
She is the best. She has these thoughtful, resonant questions at the sidelines of the NBA playoffs, and where does this resiliency come from, and how does it help you guys going forward? It's exactly what she says to Kawhi Leonard after the game.
I need to see that fourth inning assist from Sam
Panayotovich.
I'd love some video of that.
This It honestly, I mean, if you run into Sam, he'll easily tell you about it on his own.
You think? Even if you don't, just wait by the phone. It may ring. It could be Sam at any minute now.
it was a pea rocket, as what we call in the business. Just deep to left field, guy from third base, and we ended up winning by one run, so it was huge. It was pivotal, if you will.
You know what I see people playing at the parks in Chicago more now than I ever knew was a deal is kickball, adult kickball leagues. How fun does that look? Because, you know, you can kick a ball. I mean, there's a lot of sports we'd all like to play that we just can't play that well or play anymore. But pretty much everybody can play kickball. And kickball is really fun. And I'm looking at that thinking, oh, I want to be on a kickball team.
I know the former Bears tight end Greg Olson runs a kickball tournament for charity in the city.
Yeah, we ought to get a team for that.
I don't know how common it is in other cities. I think it's done in a lot of cities, but yeah. There's an do you remember the sitcom called Happy Endings? It lasts 3 seasons.
Nope.
It is a cult classic. It's on Hulu. I really recommend everyone watch Happy Endings, but it's not shot in Chicago, but it's set in Chicago. And there's an episode where it's all about a kickball tournament that they enter as a group of friends, and it's one of the best episodes of TV ever.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Name of the series is
Happy Endings.
Happy Endings.
I really recommend that show.
1029, WGN Radio News, and then we'll go to France, if you will, because France is coming to Chicago. What happened to Notre Dame? What are they doing about it now, and how can you and I be part of that? Here's the press release. It says Saturday, June 8th at 8 p.m. That's 8 o'clock tonight. St. John Cantius Church in Chicago's River West neighborhood will host a free concert celebrating the spiritual and cultural significance of Notre Dame de Paris. The concert is hosted in collaboration with the Council General of France in Chicago. It's free. It's open to all with a free will offering to benefit the rebuilding and restoration of Notre Dame de Paris. You heard choirs of voices just like those around the world after the church was so damaged, the cathedral was so damaged, and I suppose we'll hear something like that in Chicago this evening as well. Guillaume Lacroix is the Consul General of France in Chicago, and he's in our studio right now. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm delighted to be here, John.
So what does a Consul General do?
A consul general is a person who represents its country and its people in big cities, but not capital cities. We have the French ambassador in Washington, D.C., and here I am in Chicago to be the consul general.
France has been on our mind. Our president was just over there, along with world leaders, commemorating the 75th anniversary of D-Day in Normandy. I presume you've been through that part of the world many times, too.
Yes, the shared memory of Omaha Beach and the Normandy landings between France and America are extremely powerful, and this is a bond of friendship, of alliance, of brotherhood that will stay forever.
And while we'll probably remember D-Day on the 76th anniversary and the 77th anniversary, this may be the last time we see so many, maybe the last time we see a collection like that at all, of U.S. veterans from World War II at Normandy. I mean, 75 years ago, these people are 95 years old now. So they won't be here for the 100th anniversary when maybe we roll out the big red carpet again. I was really touched by what happened there this year.
It is so important. I read a statistics recently that says that every day more than 300 veterans, World War II veterans, die.
Yeah.
And it is so important, as you said, on the 75th anniversary for us to honor these heroes. I was in Evansville, Indiana, 2 days ago on the very day of the anniversary. And the person that I had the honor to present with the France's highest distinction, Mr. Donald Cobb, stormed the beaches of Normandy, Omaha Beach, on the morning of the day. And he was 19. He's 95 now.
You know, I was watching video, looking at pictures, kind of re-immersing myself in that story this week, as I suppose everybody was. And, you know, when the gates opened up on those landing craft and the soldiers had to spill out, it was just a numbers game. You know, if we put enough bodies and the bodies keep going forward, eventually some of the bodies will get to the front. And if you're unfortunate enough to be in the front landing craft or the bullet hits you and it doesn't hit the other guy, you will just be one of the numbers. But if we keep running the bodies at it, and it's not like there wasn't some strategy there, but it was a numbers game. If we just get enough human flesh to the front, we can do this thing. And it's just such an awful kind of calculus. And it called on bravery and sacrifice and selflessness by 12 nations, but certainly we're talking about the USGIs here that stormed the beach. It's an amazing thing to contemplate, isn't it?
It is, and what you call the Normandy invasion, the French people call it the liberation.
Yeah.
You are welcome, invaders.
Yeah. So nice to remember that today. You know, it's funny because I'm going to next month, at the end of July, lead a group of our listeners to Paris for a couple of nights. Then we're going to go up the Seine to Normandy. Call Kelly Cruises. Visit kellycruises.com. We still have a few berths left on our river boat. We're going to go up the Seine to Normandy and visit there, and then we're going to come back. But while we're in Paris, I'm sure a lot of us will gravitate over towards Notre Dame. Do we know what happened there? How did the cathedral catch fire?
The investigation is still going on. This is a very thorough investigation, so I understand no option is being excluded.
We think it was the roofers, right? The people that were doing the repair on the roof, probably some tar or some hot guns ignited it. Is that probably what happened?
It is one of the options. We need to know what happened in details, for sure. Because if we know what happened, we will draw all the lessons and take all the conclusions so that it does not happen again.
There, or to that, for that matter, to other places. When you travel Europe, you'll find that Paris isn't the only place with cathedrals and castles and old buildings, that it's an enormous drain on the nation's capital to keep them updated, to keep them, you know, not necessarily to code like we know it in America, but to keep them safe and operable. It's an amazing burden, isn't it?
Yeah, Notre Dame was dedicated more than 800 years ago.
Yeah.
It's an old building.
So it's not clear what happened. Are the people of France anxious about that point? Are they agitated about that point?
They are agitated about that point, but they are also agitated about what will happen next.
Yeah, so I've heard. And what do you mean by that?
I mean that debate has already started regarding how authentic and how modern is it going to be? When I say modern, this is maybe not the right word, because if you say modern, people can get a little bit anxious about it.
But the question is, should you replace it exactly as it was? Or should you introduce some new art or new ideas to it? What's your take on that?
The material will have to be different. If you look at the roof and the wooden frame, these were beams that were produced and installed in the 12th century. This cannot be replaced. As for the rest, I think it's been very clear that all the precautions will be taken so that we are not destroying the capital that just represents Notre Dame, and we will be very fidèle, as we say in French, to the originals.
Be design. Very true to the original design, but I think the question still remains. So, though, should you allow some architect the opportunity to install some new vision, some new window, some new quirk to the building, or should you replicate it with new materials as close as you can to the original, to what was lost? And I find myself being persuaded both ways. I don't have a dog in this hunt, so I'm not exactly sure what you all should do. You didn't ask for my opinion, but I'm wondering which way it'll go, you know.
The French people have been asked the question by surveys for what is worse,
yeah.
And the majority of people want it to be exactly the same,
yeah,
as it was.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, I suppose if our capital burned, or if I'm trying to think of iconic buildings in the United States that people really have a strong feeling about, and I suppose we'd want the U.S. Capitol, the White House, something like that, to be rebuilt as it was. What's the cost going to be?
Enormous. Of course, the cost will depend on the design what and the do, choices yeah. are that will be made. But a project of restoration was already underway before the fire erupted. And we're talking about hundreds of millions of euros.
Yeah. And but originally money, but 24 hours after the fire in France, money was being pledged, and I may have donated now that I think about it. I mean, it seemed like the whole world reached out. Do you have any sense of what the funding is right now? How much money has been pledged or collected?
It's probably about 1 billion euros or a little less, between 800 million and 1 billion in terms of pledge. these are commitments.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a good start.
That's a very good start, and I have to thank the Chicago community and the Midwest community as a whole for their generosity. We received so many messages of sympathy and friendship, but also a pledge to help rebuild Notre Dame.
And isn't the idea that you want to get it done before the Olympics? Is that what it is?
The President of the Republic, President Macron, said we need to achieve the rebuilding within 5 years.
What do you think of that?
It's the president that said it.
Sounds like us. That's ambitious, isn't it? Because you need to resolve how you're going to do it and then get it done. And to say nothing of all the other complications that go with the project like that. But imagine the moment, if you were able to, that you not only have the Olympics and the world stage, but the unveiling of the new Notre Dame. That would be a great goal for you all to have. That would be a great achievement.
That would be a great achievement, and it's a great project for the French people. Of course, not only the French people will do this achievement on their own. We will need the international cooperation, not only in terms of funding, but also technical assistance.
What happens at Notre Dame right now? If I'm in France, I'm going to be there in a couple of months. We can see the perimeter, but I guess you can't get too close to the building?
You can see the perimeter, and next week, the first mass since the fire will be celebrated.
Oh, really? So you will have access to it inside?
I don't have all the details, but
it's on the schedule.
Huh? Yes.
Yeah, no kidding. So then what's happening in Chicago here tonight?
Tonight, the consulate is partnering with St. John Cantius Church to have a concert dedicated to Notre Dame. St. John Cantius Church was elected in 2016. The most beautiful church in America. So 2016 was a year of many elections in the United States. And it's a great pleasure to partner with such a great community. There will be a concert with a special program that was composed by the chief organist of Notre Dame in the early 20th century. And all the music that will be played and sung with a choir, a citywide choir, were composed for Notre Dame in Notre Dame.
The composed and performed in Notre Dame, now coming to Chicago. The program will feature a combined choir of over 100 voices from choruses around the city. Works include the famed, now I'm not going to even try and pronounce some of these, Messe Solennelle.
Messe Solennelle, absolutely.
Which means something?
Solemn Mass.
Solemn Mass. accompanied by the historic Casavant Frere pipe organ and other French works composed in Paris at Notre Dame. That's this evening at 8 o'clock at St. John Cantius, C-A-N-T-I-U-S, Cantius Church in Chicago's River West neighborhood. That's the church you're saying was voted in 2016 the most beautiful church in the United States. St. John's Cantius Church in Chicago's River West neighborhood at 8 o'clock tonight. A free concert. There'll be an offering opportunity for you to make a donation to the rebuild efforts at Notre Dame in Paris. Well, what a fun job you have. If your home base is, you're from Burgundy?
Yes, Auxerre, Burgundy.
Yeah. And yet you also get to come to one of the most beautiful cities in the world, Chicago. I'd like to have a job that took me to France and to Chicago back and forth.
Right, I love my job.
Well, you should. Well, thank you for coming in. And that's all folks need to do, I guess, is show up to the event this evening, right?
Please come.
What a great night you'll have. Saturday, June 8th, that's tonight, 8 p.m., at St. John Cantius Church on the River West neighborhood. All right, thanks for coming in. Guillaume Lacroix, the Consul General of France. Yes, we have one here in Chicago. It's nice of you to come into our studio.
Thank you for having me, John.
It's 10:52. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I
parents did the right thing, but a mother used the wrong line.
Dr. John has passed away.
Right trio.
Malcolm John Mac Revenack. I did not know that was his name. I just knew him as Dr. John, and he was...
I've been in the right place, but a mother's been a wrong time.
I love the headline from Slate today. It says, the late pianist was an inspiration to New Orleans, the Muppets, and me. Dr. John was both deeply traditional and a total freak.
Never could talk into this town. Doesn't need a little brains now, the surgery. Of my insecurity. I've been in the wrong place.
Mincing Rascals come your way after the 11 o'clock edition of WGN Radio News. The gang has a lot to talk about, and one of the things they'll mince on, you'll hear it if you download the Mincing Rascals podcast or listen to wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll play some of this on the radio. But one of the things they talked about was a law in Illinois, which now says it's illegal to smoke in a car if a minor's in the car. And there was not agreement among the Mincing Rascals. So we asked you in our news click, that's the daily web poll question we post at WGNradio.com. We said, do you think it should be against the law to smoke in a car if there's a minor in the vehicle? 58% said no. 42% said yes. The Rascals mince on that and other topics after the news. From the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, that's coming up. Thank you, Maple. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here weekdays from 1 to 3 and Saturdays from 10 to noon. On Friday of this week, we normally do it on Thursdays. We record a podcast called The Mincing Rascals. We like to feature part of that on Saturdays. So you'll hear today Scott Stantis, the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, and Eric Zorn, the columnist over there, and our Steve Bertrand and Patty Vasquez. The first voice you hear is Scott Stantis's. We, in this segment, begin talking about the Bishop of the Catholic Church in Springfield, who this week issued an edict condemning President John Cullerton of the Illinois Senate and House Speaker Mike Madigan for their vote on the state's new abortion law. The bishop called them out specifically and said they'll no longer be able to take communion in his diocese. And about that, Scott Stantis said,
well, I am a practicing Catholic, and I'm disappointed as well. It also, using the Eucharist as a weapon is, in my mind, horrific. It, you know, they did it... They used it against Joan of Arc, you know, and to torture her, and denying a Catholic that right, or not right, but that the sacrament.
And isn't
exactly.
The deal, don't Catholics believe that if you go to confession, your sins are forgiven, that you can receive the Holy Eucharist? If you are, in fact, truly repentant in your heart, then you're able to receive the sacrament.
But there's no indication that either of these men are repentant about supporting this law.
Well, I think that's not for us to know or decide.
No, it is. And I think that's the headline of the story. Mike Madigan said no.
He said it's worth it, didn't he?
He said, this guy warned me, he threatened me, I considered it, and I still thought it was right to protect the rape and incest victims, so I took the vote. He stood up to the bishop, and he's not repentant.
And he's also reflecting the desires of his constituents. Many of the legislators were elected based on what they said they would do in Springfield.
There's two callings here, right? One to your God and faith, and one to your constituents. And you all can argue amongst yourselves which should come first. But you're right, Patty. He has an obligation to the people in Illinois and that he represents to do their bidding. This is a republic. He's their representative.
So then do we also withhold communion to those who elected Michael Madigan, Cullerton, or all the other legislators that voted in support of
this? I'd like to know if this bishop refuses or has refused communion to people who supported the death penalty.
Correct.
Or any other crime or any other sin against the Catholic Church.
I mean, that's a very good question. Likewise, and I'm also, I've been upset with the Catholic Church for a long time about a number of things, but I'm not a Catholic. So I just sort of stay on the sidelines. But this business where they have been criticizing people who support Pride Month and gay pride and distancing themselves from that in a very strong way, I just, you know, I really wish that this church-state line was not so easily brute.
Well, that's not germane.
Cardinal Supich has language, right? You know better than me, very careful language where he does handle it, I think, in a professional way.
We had a listener last night call and
say
that...
Well, not vindictive way.
Well, but in a constructive way, too. Right.
He right. said that the Eucharist should be used to invite people into the Lord's house, stuff like that. But he saw it as an invitation and as a sacrament to be shared. He didn't see it as something to be held out exclusively.
Right, and to threaten somebody with. And we had a listener last night call who said he used to work for the Catholic Church, and when he came out and said he was going to marry his partner, he was thrown out of the church.
On the other hand, though, I mean, I'm not down with anything that what they do like this, but if you have a faith tradition and it stands for something, if you're just, what do they call them, cafeteria Catholics, where you say, I'll use birth control.
A.K.A. Americans.
Right.
Premarital sex. Yeah. So are you going to ban people?
If your organization, your religion, whatever, stands for something, and you've got people who stand for something completely different from that, you can say, hey, you know, you're really not one of us anymore. Isn't that what,
but
essentially
it's
what Paprocki is saying?
But it's selective. That's, I mean,
I know music directors at Catholic schools who've lost their job because they're gay.
Yeah, right.
And when the administration found out about their wedding, they fired them.
There was a teacher at St. Ignatius who the students found out, and they were the ones that started publishing all these things about him and got him fired there.
Yeah, religion does get to set its rules and enforce its rules. And I can understand that if you are a religion that doesn't recognize gay marriage, even though I certainly disagree with that, that it's in keeping with that, that you would not employ people who are in a gay marriage. I understand that. And I don't know exactly where the line is for me, but when you... The term has been used weaponized, but you know, I think this guy's just getting publicity for himself and for his cause, and
well done.
And I just
well done.
Makes
you think
so angry,
helped?
Yeah. No, well done as far as getting attention. I didn't know who he was.
I guess
until
so, but well, he's done it before. Name. This guy's he's done it before.
Durbin,
I mean, as far as getting attention,
Durbin cannot receive communion from him either for the same reason.
You know, if he's going to not give communion to everyone who's not in good standing with the Catholic Church, he's going to be speaking to an empty church.
Right. This is what I got from a text last night. U.S. Catholic bishops are going to break my loving and beautiful church with their hypocrisy and small. All-minded bigotry against women and LGBT faithful.
How do you reconcile saying you've got this loving? You say you've got this loving church, and yet it's doing all these things that are not that. I mean,
knowing the texture very well because it was my husband.
yes. So Eric brings up church and state, and I said I don't think that's relevant, Eric. That's an imposition on the state. That's not an imposition on the church.
Well, it's an effort by the church. You're right, but it's an effort by the church to influence state policy by withholding communion to these.
Yeah, but I just don't know that it works both ways. I think we all agree that the state should not impose religious views on the people. But if the church wants to say, hey, we're going to punish the state for not doing things that are in accordance with our beliefs, I think the church is well within its right to do
that. And they can pay up on their taxes then, too.
They have every right to do that. You're correct. But I think that when you blur that line, then you set a problem for both institutions.
Let me ask you about a couple of other laws. In Illinois, it's going to be illegal to smoke in a car if a minor is present.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
I am so not.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of laws that are good ideas, but they shouldn't be laws. This is one of them.
My father was a four-pack day smokers, non-filtered Camels. I did not know what the world smelled like until I was 18 years old and left the house. Riding in the car with the windows rolled up in our house. I mean, and I had a lot of respiratory problems growing up. So, yes, I am in support.
Here.
Yeah, I'm in support.
Now, when you're a king, John, when this happens, wouldn't you make parents who smoked in the car with their kids, like, stand in front of the car and get run over? I mean, it's a terrible thing to do.
Wait a minute.
So it's child abuse.
So can they not smoke in their own house?
They shouldn't. But that's what he's saying.
My mom waited until I left for college.
But
too.
A car is a much more enclosed space.
There's a difference between a shouldn't and a cannot.
Okay, well, I would say in this case that cannot is in an enclosed space like a car. Is defensible.
This feels really nanny statey to me, and makes my skin crawl.
Liberals, we like to do that stuff.
I know.
I'm a little like to tell you how to behave.
Well, all right. So let me ask you this:
Let me just stop it. Isn't this child abuse? I mean, you are subjecting your kid to heavy doses.
No, it is not.
No, I mean,
it's that is an insult to people who have been abused.
It's toxic.
It is toxic.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good. I mean, I grew up in a house with a smoker, too. I was in that car.
So abusive only counts if you're struck? Or, I mean, exposing a child to toxic fumes, I think, is abusive.
Well,
I understand. I'm not saying it's great.
It's legal to smoke a cigarette in your house or your car.
I understand that, and I appreciate that.
You can do that legally, just like you can eat pork rinds. Then they're not good for you. So if you feed your kids pork rinds, is that abusive too?
We wear seatbelts. It's the things that happen on the road.
Right. We get to decide what the state's going to impose in the name of minor safety. Seatbelts we do. I don't think cigarettes with windows up or down we should. But let me ask you guys this. What do you think is more detrimental to this child that the state's going to raise now? That the parents smoke in that car or that the parents take that kid to McDonald's three times a week? What's harder on the kid's future?
And you're training that kid to eat that way for the rest of his life.
Kid's probably going to have weight problems, maybe diabetes, won't be very physically
fit. He's going to be too fat to get out of the smoker's room.
Sodium in those things? Oh my God.
You want me to run that flag up the pole at the Springfield, see what my friends think?
I'm asking you, what do you think is more deleterious to a child's health?
I think that having grown up in a car with the windows pretty much rolled up and the cigarette smoke was harder on me. And I ate at McDonald's and probably ate food that my parents, having looked back, wish they hadn't. I would say the cigarette smoke was more toxic to my health.
Let me throw a question to the group, though. Impeachment. My take now is it's too late. You're going to try to overturn an election. Beat him. Beat the guy in 2020.
That's Scott Stantis. You also hear Eric Zorn, Steve Bertrand, yours truly, John Williams, Patty Vasquez, and Steve Bertrand. The Mincing Rascals are recorded usually on Thursdays. We recorded it on Friday. It went up last night around 5 o'clock, and the gang got at it. There's a lot of local topics, and obviously they started to talk about what the best strategy is for Democrats and Republicans, and that's part of the Mincing Rascals. The Mincing Rascals, free wherever you get your Finder podcast. Thank you, gang. So 11:22 on WGN. On Facebook, I'm WGN King John, by the way. The Mincing Rascals are posted there. But just below there was my top five donuts ranked on National Donut Day. And the text or the post that followed that, a lot of you commented on that, are kind of fun. Griffin, on National Donut Day, I posted my lifetime donut snack cake experiences ranked number 5, Hostess Donut Gems, little white powdery donuts in a sleeve. Number 4, Honey Buns. My mom used to heat them up before school. Number 3, Cinnabons. I mean, that's why I think we still have malls. Number 2, Mr. Donut. They aren't around anymore. Dunkin' Donut bought them up. But the Mr. Donut plain glazed donut was a staple desire of my youth. It's why I wanted a driver's license when I was 16, because then I could go get donuts. Number 1, the Manuka High School cafeteria cinnamon rolls, circa 1976. We'd look at the cafeteria menu, and if that was on the schedule that week, it was a good week. I also sandwiched in between the two of those the Krispy Kreme glazed donuts. When those came on the scene, those were game changers. I don't know. Joe, do you have a donut that kind of takes you back to a certain part of your life or youth?
When I was a kid and I would sleep over at my grandparents' house, my grandfather would always make a ton of breakfast, and us as spoiled kids would say, "We want donuts," and my grandma would go and get a bunch of donuts. I was always a vanilla Long John kind of guy.
Vanilla Long John, excellent choice.
I was glad that your list you said was like donut memories you were ranking, not because it is the list. If you didn't personalize it like that and make that stipulation, that would be a tough list, I think.
Yeah, because my new donut memories are Saturday mornings when John walks in with a half dozen of tasty donuts.
I look at your donut list and I feel like I know that you're a thin, trim man, but I could have, if I didn't know that, I could have guessed it from your donut list.
I can't believe I'm being criticized for my choice of donuts. So
I'm manufacturing drama. I'm trying to spice things up.
What should be on the list?
You know what I find from food trucks are almost always overrated and overpriced.
Agreed.
And, you know, seem fun and never as fun as they seem. Donuts from a food truck across the board, like those mini cinnamon donuts. You could also get them at a baseball game. Or, you know, events like that.
County fairs.
I always find those to be the best thing in the world.
Those are pretty good. How do you feel, though, about the really expensive Stan's donuts and these kind of donuts?
I'm pro.
I am not. I think for the money and for the just
you have
pure
to
taste.
You have to know what you're doing.
I have made bad choices.
A lot of ways to go wrong. I'll guide you. We're going to fatten you up. We'll get it done.
The bacon donuts, for instance?
Yeah,
seriously?
I'm not crazy about a bacon donut, but I think there's a lot of ways you can go right in places like that. And I'll show you.
You're absolutely right, though, because when I have gone to places and thought, okay, I'm going to spend $28. I'm going to buy 4 donuts or whatever the heck it is. But by God, these are going to be... Look at them. They look so good.
I love Dunkin' Donuts, too. I'm not a snob.
Oh, that's it.
But you, I'm really not a donut snob, but you push the limits by putting on like the donut... Well, I don't... The honey buns, was it?
Honey buns. That my
Anything
mom used
that comes
to
in, that's tough. That's just a little tough.
You weren't there.
I wasn't there. You're absolutely right.
When I read... so Gene wrote, when I read comments about the Deerfield Bakery, my mouth began to water. Having lived in northern Wisconsin for 25 years now, I realized that no place has bakeries like the Chicago area. Chris wrote on my Facebook page, nice to hear the mention of Mr. Donut, where the vanilla or chocolate angels ruled. Anne wrote, cider donuts should be on the controlled substance list. Betty said, John, all the above would change on your list drastically if you visited the Deerfield Bakery. Oh, my God. When I worked at Barrett in Lake Forest, our boss would sometimes stop in on the way and give our office a great big old box. In Antioch now, nothing I've had in the last 25 years compared. Nothing. I would be 300 pounds if I lived near them. That was the Deerfield Bakery. A few of you mentioned the Deerfield Bakery. Oh, John, take a trip to Door County this fall and partake of a fresh, warm apple cider donut. It's life-changing. Marianne says, if you're ever in Hampshire, try country donuts. Marjorie says, I hadn't thought of Mr. Donut in years. There was one in State College, Pennsylvania, near a friend's house. Her brothers were known to dumpster dive after hours for the bags of unsold donuts. Country donuts in Elgin, a couple of you have mentioned. Gigantic glazed donuts, so airy, it was magic that the glaze was supported. Kids would plead with Grandma, we want donuts from IGA. My Facebook page rolls on. I'm WGN King John there. The news is next.
He's strong, not one to settle down. You know he's wear me out. Wild thing, he's all mine. It's crazy, but when he can't sleep, I understand.
It's 11:40 on WGN. Saturdays at this time, producer Griff introduces us to a song that he thinks maybe we should know a little bit about or pay attention to. And then we rate it on a scale of 1 to 100. That's how we start this segment out today. What are we listening to there, Griff?
That was Carly Rae Jepsen. She's back. You know, we haven't done this segment in a while.
Yeah.
She came back with her most recent album called Dedicated about a month ago. But we haven't had a chance to play it, and I've wanted to. So I'm taking that time now. That song was called Everything He Needs.
Is that olive oil?
That is, yeah, exactly. That's the great... As soon as I heard this song, I responded to it pretty quickly. I love it. I'll put my cards on the table. I love this song. But yeah, that chorus of he needs me, is ripped, sort of, and then modified from the song from Popeye, sung by Shelley Duvall originally. I could play it if you want. And you can kind of hear the similarities, but this one's much dancier. And
so
upbeat.
Shelley Duvall in the movie Popeye.
Yes, is singing about Popeye.
Sings a song like that, and then Carly Rae Jepsen samples that and does her own take on it.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want to hear the original real
quick? Yeah, if it's handy.
Yeah.
I mean, I love what I just heard. I don't remember. Go ahead and play the. So this is Shelley Duvall now we're going to hear from the movie Popeye.
Right.
It could be fantasy. Oh. Or maybe it's because he needs me, 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 he needs me.
So she was kind of doing her version of that right there.
I like this version too.
Da, 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 da.
I've always loved that song. Well, not always, but I was introduced to that song because it was used in that Adam Sandler movie, Punch Drunk Love. I don't know if they sort of modified that song and used it in that movie. So I've loved it since then. And then to hear Carly Rae, I was already anticipating this album. And then she flipped that song. I was blown away. So
what a weird choice.
I know. It's off the wall.
And it works.
She's the best at that. We've kind of gotten into this before, but I'm a big fan of her last album called Emotion, which is just straight pop dance songs, but just done with a lot of class and like just very inspired arrangements, working with people who like take it very seriously. And it just feels special. And it was nice to see her come back with some more stuff like that.
Did you know Carly Rae Jepsen was so talented? I didn't think she was a singer with those kind of chops. Or a musician, or, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah. I've loved her since that last album.
I know you have, but I mean, I wonder if the world has appreciated that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people like me, but it's, I don't know. She, you know, obviously we all know Call Me Maybe, and everyone, I think, kind of enjoyed that song and then wrote her off as a one-hit wonder or something like that. Yeah. And she hasn't had a big hit since then, it's true. But she's maybe a little under the radar, produced a lot of great music.
1 to 100, Griff. I'm giving that song a 91. Whoop, whoop.
I'm a 96.
Hey, Joe, you paying attention over there in baseball land?
I am, but I'm just a little confused. Griff, are you a fan of Carly Rae Jepsen or not? I couldn't quite understand.
You know, I'm still deciding, but I am going to give this one a 96.
I enjoyed it. I did. I'll give it a 90. I hate to sound like a broken record where I'll only give songs or put songs in a variety of where I can picture myself listening to them, but we spend a lot of hours on the bus, and I've got a sleep playlist, and I'm not putting this as, an insulting way. I just think it's a very mellow, low-key, you know, easy to just kind of zone out and listen to it and just kind of vibe off it. So I give it a 90. I do like it.
If that's what you're using it for, then I'll more power to you. I remember when Coldplay was kind of at the height of their powers, and there was some survey that like a nationwide survey somewhere that somebody took, and it was like Coldplay is definitely the band you're most likely to fall asleep to. But if you could take that either way.
But you choose to.
Right, yes,
to.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You could take that either way, but it's like they were the biggest band in the world at that point. There's going to be a lot of people falling asleep to you.
Before this segment ends, Griffin, cue up the Carly Rae Jepsen version for us, and we'll kind of walk out with it. Have you guys seen the video of the babbling baby talking to, I think it's a little girl, to her dad on the sofa?
Is it
a little boy?
I can't remember, actually, now.
Small child in a onesie sitting on a sofa talking to the dad. And the dad is just talking, not baby talk, but adult talk, but just saying, what do you think? How about that? Well, did they get that right? Should they work on that? I don't know what they're watching. But the dad's talking to the kid, and the kid is using the same gestures and facial expressions. It's like watching a child learn language because she's mimicking perfectly what the father does. It's just such a loving, adorable scene between a father and a child. And it's got, like, you know, 90 zillion views on the internet now. But if you just Google babbling baby conversation, something like that, the video will come up. And 1 to 100, I mean, it seems like every week, by the time we get to Saturday, we need something to feel good about. You will feel good when you watch this video.
Whoops, sorry. Can I play a little clip of it? I've got it pulled up now.
Oh, of the dad and the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
This one. This is the grand finale of this.
Okay, the last?
Yeah, that's the last one. That's what I was wondering. I don't know what they're going to do next season because they did some stuff this time. Exactly what I was thinking. Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic because I've got a couple of nieces and a nephew, and, you know, we'll do that, but it's usually just baby blabber. It's not like the inflection of the voice and the tone sounds like an actual sentence, but that's what the baby's doing in that video.
Yeah.
That's what makes it very cool.
It's so good. I love it. I've watched this 1,000 times. They're watching a show, and he's saying, what are they going to do next season? And that's the whole... I'm curious to know what show that is.
The child will have no recollection of this, of course. The video will be a nice memory for the kid. But I really think you could study that and say, here's how you learn language. You practice the inflection. You find the words.
I wasn't going to bring this up. It's so stupid. But so this was on Twitter and went hugely viral there. I guess it went viral on every platform. But in the comments on the most, like, viral version of it on Twitter, there's just all manner of things. And one person with, like, a psycholinguistics PhD saying, like, this is why you don't use baby talk with kids. You talk to them and they will learn. They will pick up on those cues. They'll be ahead. And then someone else with some other long list of
credentials
says, no, there's research that shows that baby talk is helpful for development, and they're in a fight. Now they're really mad at each other.
Really?
Roasting each other.
The internet at its finest.
It's like, you took this, really? And you can take anything and make it.
This one most beautiful moment between a child and a father, and now you two eggheads are screaming at each other. Thank you. Thank you.
Pretty hilarious.
Just one other thing I want to throw at you guys, and then I'll ask you what you've got for me, Joe. But have you guys watched Chernobyl yet? The HBO series?
I have not.
I've watched two episodes of the five.
What did you think of that? Did it draw you in? Are you like, it's only five episodes, so are you on board?
Yes, I was pretty blown away. I thought it was great.
Docudrama. Some people say it's the best thing that you've seen on a subscription channel since, I don't know, Game of Thrones or something
since
like that.
Game of Thrones ended a week ago.
Yeah, but I mean, Game of Thrones was the all-timer, and this is really well done. And it's the story of Chernobyl, the nuclear reactor, and in Chernobyl, that goes kaplooey, and what happened and what they did afterwards and how they cleaned it up. And it hews pretty closely to the truth, too. So it's...
Yeah, it's... I mean, a story like that, you think, so depressing. I think I know what that's going to be. Why would I watch it? And then you watch it, and that gives you so much to think about. And it is depressing, but in a way, actually, that I... much more depressing than I actually expected, which doesn't sound like a...
An endorsement,
but it is. It took me by surprise, all the like thoughts and emotions that it did inspire.
Well, do you agree with this? I had no idea the heroism, the selflessness that the people of Russia showed in cleaning that up. I mean, people...
The citizens, yes.
Less
so with
the Soviet government, but the citizens, they'd say, listen, millions of people may die if you don't go in there. And they go, oh, all right. And they'd go in there. I mean, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of people were involved in the cleanup of that reactor.
So horrible.
I'm highly recommending Chernobyl on HBO. I'm giving it a 92. Joe Brand, what have you got for us?
We got to talk about these Bears jerseys that have been unveiled from last night. The 100 anniversary party that they had with all the former Bear greats. It looked like a really cool event. And then they unveiled these new jerseys. They're only going to wear them for two games next year. But they're... I don't know. It's all over the internet. People are either saying they love them or they hate them. I'm really leaning towards the not a fan of them. It's kind of a Frankenstein of different uniforms. They've got like the Michigan helmets, but they're orange stripes rather than gold stripes.
Correct.
The jerseys look like the Cleveland Browns, but they're dark blue instead of brown, but they're still the orange.
They have the stripes on the shoulder pads.
Yeah, exactly. There's the lateral stripes across the sleeves, but then there's also over the shoulder pads, like you said. And then they've got orange and blue striped socks. Those are the ones that just really don't fit the whole Bears look to me at all.
The socks look somewhat Dr. Seuss.
Totally. Yes, we talked about this with Pete. They're kind of like, they look like the socks that when people are dress up as a witch for Halloween and they wear those high socks.
My first association was it looks like a Bengals.
Yes,
a little bit.
I thought so too.
That too.
But because the dark blue.
1 to 100, what do you give them, Griff?
55. I don't care. They look fine.
I thought the uniforms the Toronto wore last night looked bad. I don't think that was a cool look either. They didn't seem to care. Of the Bears uniforms, yeah, I'm 68.
I think I don't think it looks great, but I do always wonder how much to chalk up to, like, we don't like what we're not familiar with. This is what happens every time they make a change on some website that you use frequently, Twitter, Facebook. They make some small operational change, and people flip out, and a week later you can't imagine...
not having had that feature.
What it used to be
you
like.
You want something really nerdy I do every once in a while? I will Google the first original Facebook or the first original MySpace. Oh, wow, I remember when it looked like that. And just take it down memory lane for no particular reason.
Wow, so you have some free time on the road. Is that what you're saying, Joe?
A little bit, yeah. Every once in a while, I'll squeeze that in.
By the way, play-by-play voice of the Kane County Cougars, where are you today? In
we
Quad
are
Cities,
in-
right?
We are, yeah, Davenport, Iowa. It's basically a river around the entire ballpark, but kudos to the staff here for the Quad Cities River Band. It's still able to make baseball happen in this place. There's a walkway that's almost like half a mile long to get into the ballpark, but it's one of my favorite stops to come here in the travel of this league, so I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, okay, Joe, well, have a good game.
Thank you.
It's 11:52. Amy Goose got a few things to feature on her show coming up. We've got White Sox baseball coming your way. The White Sox touched 500, and then they've lost a few games. Hopefully they'll get back on their winning ways here. We've got White Sox baseball coming your way. Pregame coverage at 12:40 this afternoon. By the way, we talked about that church, St. John Cantius, C-A-N-T-I-U-S, which this evening is having a concert to support the rebuild effort of Notre Dame in Paris. The Consul General of France in Chicago came by and told us a little bit about what happened at Notre Dame and what's happening this evening. And he said that St. John Cantius was in 2016 voted the prettiest church in America. I have not been in there. Griffin and I Googled it. And oh my God, is this thing beautiful. If you want to hear a 100-voice choir singing in an amazing building and doing something really, I think, that you'll feel and is meaningful and helpful, it's in Chicago's River West neighborhood. The church is at 825 North Carpenter Street, and that's St. John Cantius. It's just gorgeous. There'll be a choir there. They're going to be singing these songs in French to help the folks with the rebuild of the cathedral, and that may be worth your time. Thank you, Bob Ferguson, for helping us out today. And Pam Jones was in the newsroom a moment ago. I see Bob Kessler is ready. Griffin Filipich has been our producer, and Amy Guth is ready to get you to pregame baseball.
Hello.
What's going on?
It's nice to be back. I've been out of here for a little bit. You know, today we're going to talk about a bunch of different things. One of them is there was a flight this week from Chicago to L.A. On United. They are trying to experiment with just how small they can make the carbon footprint of flying. That accounts for a lot of environmental damage. And so they experimented with using only compostable utensils and cups and offsetting. They use a mix of biofuel. And try to experiment, you know, and a spokesperson said that it wasn't going to be perfect, but they just wanted to see how close they could get to a zero carbon emission flight. So that happened. We're going to talk about that.
Glad to hear that.
Also, there is a trend of clothing that you don't have to wash as often. I don't know how I feel about this.
I do. Not good.
Not good. I have a lot of questions, but there's clothing being engineered so you only have to wash it every couple of weeks.
For the same reason? Carbon footprint?
Totally different. Green. Well, essentially, yes. So because they were looking at numbers around laundry, and there was even a statistic that I came across from a washing machine company who has definitely a horse in this race, who said, you know, yeah, people are washing their stuff too much. You really don't need to as much.
Didn't the president of Levi's say last year that you should never wash your blue jeans?
Yeah, I can't get on board with that.
I know. And I'm like, I wash them and I like to dry them too. And I know people think that's not the proper treatment
that's
of your
right.
denim, but I like a clean, dried pair.
And I feel like things kind of, you know, your shirt gets stretched out after you wear it. You got to wash it and snap it back into place. Same with jeans. They're nice and snug. So I don't know. We're gonna take a look. I'm open to anything. I have an open mind, but I have questions about the BO factor. Like, okay, if you don't wash your shirt for 3 weeks, but I don't want to smell that shirt on the train or anything.
Well, you said there was engineering in it, so we'll be listening. Have a good show, Amy Guth.
We'll see. Thanks so much.